Monday the 8th of June, Tess Zion Sivon, Rabbi Svi Belovsky, the Chatzotzvos.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Chatzotzvos, the trumpets, appear to have a number of functions. And it's not immediately obvious how these functions are related to one another. And I plan to try to explore what the Chatzotzvos were for, what they represent, and perhaps as a result we can tie various themes together in what I hope will be a reasonably interesting way. First, the parasha is Perek Yud, in the middle of Ba'alois, Chovay Rabashim, and Moshe Limu, Asei Lecho Shtei Chatzotzvos Kesef. Make for you, and this word Lecho is significant, as we're going to see in the Midrash, two silver trumpets, Mikshot Asei, Som Nehata, you should make them a beaten metal work, and these are the primary functions. They shall be to call the community, and to make the camps travel. And when you blow on them, all of the community will assemble, or they will know they have to come to the gate of the Mishkan. And then it describes one, two, blow one, what different sounds mean. Missed out a few psukim. Now, v'chisovoy milchomo ba'artzchem. Additionally, if war should come to your land, ala tzatzoreschem, for any distress that troubles you, ra'usim b'chatzotzros, and you shall blow teruah on the Chatzotzros, v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem v'kichon, and you'll be remembered before the Lord your God, v'noish atem mo'yveichem, and you're going to be saved from your enemies. That's another use. And finally, uv'yom simchaschem v'moyadeichem v'roshei chodcheichem, on your celebration days, and in Yom Tovim, that means Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh, skatem Chatzotzros aloiseichem v'yazim chashemaichem, you shall blow on the Chatzotzros over your korbonus, and you will be remembered before God and the Hashem Elokeichem. So they seem to have multi-purpose, the multi-purpose trumpets. So the Midrashim are very interested in this phrase, Asei Lecho Shtei Chatzotzros Kesef, because the word Lecho is obviously redundant in terms of informing Moshe you should make them. So, here the key source of them is the Tanchuma, and two parts here from the Tanchuma to begin to build up a picture of how Chazal see the Chatzotzros. So, in the first passage, which is, if you're interested in the references, it's the Tanchuma, Ois Tes. Kol Mishu Yoramim Kodesh Baruch Hu Nasa Melech. Anyone who fears, perhaps better is in awe of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is made into a king. And he goes on to explain, how do you learn this? There are various, or two particular places where one learns this. It describes, first of all, Avram Avinu as a melech. The term melech is obviously being used loosely, but in the War of the Kings, in Perek Yud Dalad of Bereshis, we have a reference to Emek Shoveh, who Emek HaMelech, the depression of the king. The king here is understood to be Avraham Avinu. Anyway, Avraham Avinu is identified as a melech because he is in awe of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. For Avraham Bilvad, this principle does not apply only to Avraham. Ela Af Moshe Nisrim in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but Moshe Rabbeinu is also a melech. He also somehow exemplifies this attribute of being in awe of the divine. And he's in awe by Astemoship and Okiro Mabit Eli Lokim. He is in awe. He's too fearful to gaze at the divine. And that qualifies him according to the Midrash to become a king, because we know the possible by Hiv Yishurun Melech. Yishurun is a poetic reference to Klal Yisrael, and the Melech in the story is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all it seems to be preparatory so far. That has nothing to do with the parasha. That's all an introduction to his understanding of the Chatzotzros. Omla Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Melech Asi Sicho, I have made you into a king. Melech Shiyotz HaMilchoma Tokin Lefonov, just as when a king goes out to war, they blow the trumpets before him, Similarly, when you go out to war, they shall blow before you. Minayin, how do you know this? Because it says in our parsha, Asei lecho shtei chatzotzeres kesef, that although we're talking about the camp traveling, the camp stopping, we're talking about war, about blowing to rouse the troops. It's Asei lecho. Somehow or other, this concept of chatzotzeres and what they embody is identified more with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, than with anyone else. That's the first midrash. Now the next Tanchuma is probably more familiar. It's paraphrased by Rashi. Asei lecho, playing more on this phrase, Asei lecho, Mishel lecho. They have to be yours. Presumably, even possibly, from your own resources. They have to be your own. Asei lecho, lecho ata oise ve'ein ata oise la'acher. You make them for you, Asei lecho, but the emphasis obviously on the lecho for you. But you don't make them for anyone else. Because ato mishtamesh bohen, ve'ein acher mishtamesh bohen. Because you're going to use them, and no one else will be able to use them. Well, Chazal say this, clearly they understand in the word lecho, a sense that whatever the chatzotzeres represent, it is completely embodied by Moshe Rabbeinu, to the extent that it will be somehow false for another person to use it. It's not that it's not physically possible for a person to take the trumpet and blow it. It means it will be inappropriate, because the concept that it embodies, and when it's blown so much, espouses what Moshe Rabbeinu represents, that if anyone else were to use it, it wouldn't work properly. I.e., not that it wouldn't make a noise, but the concept would not be expressed clearly. You should know this is true. Shari Yeshua Talmidei Shel Moshe Lo Nishtamish Bohem Ela B'Shofros, because Yeshua, the closest you get to Moshe Rabbeinu, his Talmid Muvhak, his successor, uses Shofros when he needs to rouse the troops. He does not use Chatzotzeres. And then he goes on to say that even Moshe Rabbeinu only uses the Chatzotzeres when he is in his prime. It's not even that it was restricted from Yeshua's use. And Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmoi, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Al Chu B'Chayim Nignazu, they were concealed, they were set aside while he was still alive. They weren't put away once he died, even while he was still alive. Rabbi Yitzchok gives a bit of background to this. Harizesh Moshe Oimer Keshehu Boli Potaminoi. Moshe indicated that when he knew the time had come for him to depart this world, Omakilo Elias Kol Roshi Shivteichem, near the end of Devarim, gather together for me all the heads of your tribes. Heichon Oichatzotzeres. Surely the way you gather people is by blowing the Chatzotzeres. Doesn't do it. They make an announcement. There are no Chatzotzeres. From which the Midrash understands by a careful reading, he must not have said, use the chatzotzeres to indicate people should gather. From which you learn that while he was yet alive, they were concealed. And of course, there are different ways of reading this. One is that he realized they might be misused, so he wants to ensure that he'd done made his responsibility by removing them. But perhaps it means that it's only Moshe Rabbeinu when he is at his full force, when his strength is waning, when really the leadership has sort of already passed on to the next generation, even then he can't use the Chatzotzeres. And then it repeats the same theme. Dova acha asei lecho ato mishtamish bohem v'asha'ato melech. You may use them because you are the king. That's very similar to the previous passage in the Tanchuma. Then acher mishtamish bohem. Then it brings a discussion of whether David HaMelech was allowed to use them. In the end, the conclusion of the Midrash is that David HaMelech used a kinoir. This is a source that also appears in the first parak of Brochus. It's familiar about the kinoir. About he places the kinoir, the lyre, at the end of his bed, and when the wind blows at night, the music rouses him, and that gets him up, and he davens, and he learns, and he sings praises, and so on. But it is interesting that the only other person that the Midrash even has a hava mina could be eligible to use the Chatzotzeres is David HaMelech. Now, my understanding of Midrash is that what it's really doing is saying, can we identify anyone else in history who may have so exemplified the attributes of Malchus that maybe David HaMelech could have used them, maybe not. That's not so important. What's important, it will help us to understand what attributes, what is Malchus? And a comparison of Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech will be a good way to try to understand by what, looking at what traits they shared. Okay, so that's one thing. Moshe Rabbeinu uses the Chatzotzeres, and no one else, with a possible, debatable exception of David HaMelech. That's one. The second thing is we see, they are the domain of the king. And even though David HaMelech is not officially a king in the way that David HaMelech is, he's identified as a king, and we see in this Midrash he's not just possibly a role model for David HaMelech, he's also the conceptual successor of Avraham Avinu as well. That's how the Midrash puts them together. Okay, what's the next thing? Well, we see that Chatzotzeres are used for travel, they're used for war, and they're used to celebrate Korbanos and Shabbos and Yom Tov. They seem to be, as I said, quite disparate uses. So there's a Tanchuma again, but in Parshas Matos that discusses this. HaShabbos miskadeshes b'chatzotzeres, v'chein roshi chodoshim, because I think the phrase of Yotzim Chaschem refers to the Korbanos of Shabbos, even though it doesn't mention Shabbos explicitly. So the Tanchuma understands here, Shabbos is sanctified by the Chatzotzeres, and the Rosh Chodoshim, and the Moyados, and the Yom Tovim as well. As it says, Uviyom Simchaschem, Uvoedechem, Rosh Chodshechem. Because you noisim the Chatzotzeres, and when they travelled, they used the Chatzotzeres. And when they gathered, they used the Chatzotzeres. And when they were distressed, i.e. when there was a war, Kisovo Milchom of Artschem, as it says, they were Chatzotzeres. And it says explicitly, and when they went out, and that's why this is in Parshas Matos, when they went out to war against Midian, which is the second Indian in Parshas Matos, then they took their Nakoma, which means, again, I would understand Midrashic reading, that Midian here is identified as the antithesis of what the Chatzotzeres represent. Then the Nakoma is done with the Chatzotzeres. Meaning, again, that whatever Chatzotzeres embody, Moshe Rabbeinu, possibly David HaMelech, maybe Avraham Avinu, Malchus, wherever Malchus is, Midian is the antithesis, and therefore the destruction of Midian is symbolized by the blowing of the Chatzotzeres. That's how I would read those Midrashim. Let's try and piece this together a little bit. So the chinuch is always a very good place to go for a sort of try to have some sort of holistic understanding. You want a big word, holistic understanding of a subject. So it's worth reading the excerpt from the chinuch always says Mishosha Mitzvah, the root, which means the concept. What's going on behind the mitzvah? The vikish b'shas ha'korban srichim lechavin datom yafe. When they make korbanos, the primary thing is kavon. It's very easy to slaughter an animal and to do all sorts of things, just follow the rules. The key thing is the focus. It's the kavona. It's all about focus. This is well known. All you have to do is read pages and pages of Zvochim. One of Zvochim's main interests is the incorrect kavona when the korban is brought. The gam kein sorich hakorban kavon shem lifnei and hakoshi zivon olav. It also has not just kavon that you're doing the korban and rather thinking of something else, but also you're doing it for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who has instructed us to do so. So now, of course, the chinuch is trying to answer our question. And what's that got to do with the fact that you blow the chatzotzeres over the korbanos, as well as when you go out to war? The gam kein beisat soros sorich adam kiven godol. What's the key focus from a Jewish perspective? The war, it's not the physical fight of the battle, it's the recognition that one has to supplicate before God, hachno, humility, submission to the divine, and the recognition that in the end, whether we win the war, it's in God's hands and not in ours. So of course what the chinuch is doing now is tying together the different inyonim. It's all about kavona, about rousing people to focus on the spiritual background to something which appears to be a very physical act. One is slaughtering an animal, and the other is fighting a war, but what lies in common between them is the fact that it requires kavona and a recognition that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is behind all of this. The one has to supplicate before God, the one will, he will show him mercy, and eventually God will save him from his distress. That is why we are instructed to blow the chatzotzeres on these occasions. Because human beings who are physical, we always need constant arousal, we need to be woken up about these sorts of things. Because the natural state of a human being is to be asleep if it is not alerted. And there is nothing that wakes a person up other than the, it's not much of a tune the thing plays, but it means the sounds, the musical notes. You do our door, this matter is well known. And similarly, the sound of chatzotzeres, shua kol hagodol sheba kol kli nikum, which is the loudest blast, the biggest sound, if you like, of all of the musical instruments. The oydiyesh choelis nimsa b'kol hachatzotzeres. It seems there's another function in the blowing of the chatzotzeres, apart from the arousal of intention, of focus. Because the blast drives away thoughts of other things. It's not just a question of focus, there has to be an active elimination of extraneous thought. There's another word for you. Okay. At the moment of the korban, the only thing, it's not just that I'm focusing on the korban, but I'm also thinking what I'm going to do later on. The only thing in mind should be the korban. That requires his oirus to think about the task at hand, and also a process of eliminating anything else. Well, Arich, you're doing, what I need to get to say any more about this. This is the end. He said, it's obvious. It's perfectly obvious, he said. That's it. He said, I don't need to say any more. It's perfectly obvious. So of course, I said this chinuch is the key source because it's tying together. It sees a central theme of kavona. And what is very interesting for you, and here is that one is always curious, or I am always curious as to where Rav Hirsch gets his explanations from, because they're almost always unattributed. Chotzar is an accessory. This is Rav Hirsch on our parsha, surrounding a central principal phase. A courtyard in the real meaning of the word. It's something in the centre which other things go round. For every signal, so then he says, what's a chotzer? So if a chotzer is something about around which things are placed, it's a courtyard, then chatzotzeres, which is an emphatic form of the same word, is something which causes things to come around it. It's very interesting. It's a Hirschian addition of the chinuch's explanation. For every signal calls those to whom it is directed, either actually in person or as a direction for their attention, to the one from whom the signal emanates. And it calls focus to the centre, and in the case of the chatzotzeres, everyone looks to the centre and thinks the centre. It wonders what the issue at hand is and focuses entirely on it. And therefore the chatzotzeres are the device which calls that focus. Accordingly, it's the last line of Rav Hirsch, it makes this latter into the centre point of a circle who are attached to him. Which possibly could do with some translation into sort of more comprehensible English, and that's actually from the old edition, since it's been retranslated. But you see, chatzotzeres are devices which create focus around a central point. It's very similar to the chinuch's reading. Now, let's go back to the melech temporarily. What is malchus? So we can see in history two versions of malchus. Malchus certainly has most commonly in history been a process by which one person takes advantage of everyone else. That the king has all his vassals, they all pay homage to him, and he regards them, their resources, as effectively objects and resources at his disposal. That means he sees himself essentially in a privileged position, and for whatever reason, these people wish to submit to him. There's another version, Melech Leiv Ha'om, which is the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam understands that the king is the focal point of the nation, in the same way that the heart is the focal point of the body. It's not so that the king and the people have a symbiotic relationship, right, in which they feed off one another. The king represents everything in microcosm that the people have to be. They have to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to exemplify Yerushalayim. He is the point around which everything revolves, just as the heart is at the center of the body. It doesn't mean that he exploits them. It means he represents them. He understands that he is there for them. But he is the focal point. And the focal point behind that has to be the combination of Yerushalayim, which in turn is a consequence of anova, of humility. And it's interesting that you see Moshe Rabbeinu as Asei Lecho Shvei Chatzotzeres Kesef, as the exemplar of the Yerushalayim that this process requires, in the same parsha as you see the record of his humility, that is the On of Mikol Adom. So, again trying to put these together, and it would seem that no one else in history, with the possible exception of David HaMelech, and we've seen in the Tanchum that that's debatable, no one else really exemplifies that in its full force. There are other kings, there are other great people, and to some degree, of course, they all attempt to, and to some degree succeed, in exemplifying this idea. But in terms of really being a complete, exemplifying complete hachnor, this complete subjugation, humility, both to our Kodesh Baruch Hu and to the needs of the people, and thereby being the true focal point of kavona, the same kavona, the Yerushalayim, the connection to the divine that are expressed through the korbanos, that of course must be the focus when one goes out to war, the recognition of complete submission to the divine, and so on and so forth. Only Moshe Rabbeinu and possibly David HaMelech exemplify this, which is probably the correct, what the Midrash is trying to tell us, in Asei Lecho, that you can use the chatzotas, but no other. Only you truly exemplify this idea. So let's continue a little further. This notion that the chatzotras, and by extension malchus, are the unifying force in this way, is brought out. Here we have, we haven't managed to get there, but here's a Shem Shmuel. We had to get that. I stalled a few more minutes. So the Shem Shmuel, in an essay written 99 years ago in Tof Reish Ayin, says as follows. It's quite a long piece, I just have a few snippets from it. Shofras, in contrast to Chatzotzeres, and it's interesting that the Mishnah juxtaposes Shofras and Chatzotzeres. Shofras have a certain role, and Chatzotzeres, there are occasions when, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shofras blew longer than the Chatzotzeres, and other occasions the Chatzotzeres blew longer than the Shofras. But that juxtaposition is understood by the Mishnah, because they have different purposes. So here's the Shem Shmuel. He says, Shofras ahachnor, it's not quite the same as we've been saying so far, and he proves that from a Yerushalmi, which is very fond, he quoted in many places. Yerushalmi is that when we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, we should be considered like animals who are like lowing, like cattle who are mooing, if you like, before a Kodesh Baruch. It's almost an animalistic noise, which of course the Sifrei Kabbalah understand to mean that this raw, kind of uncontrolled animal vitality that sometimes gets totally out of control and leads us astray, but that can also be channeled in a holy manner, and that's that raw, unfocused sound. That's why the shofar has to be made in a certain way, with no mouthpiece. It's almost like, if you like, the uncontrolled sound is being pushed through it. But that shofar is achnor. In contrast, chatzotzeres moren al hisnasus. Chatzotzeres represents leadership, if you like, a sense of positivity and control and so on, and therefore they are somewhat in tension with each other. One is subjugation and the other is assertion. They're not quite the same. How then does he balance the two against each other? Moshe Rabbeinu Shaya Onov Ma'oid Mikol Odom. Moshe Rabbeinu is the, if you like, the epitome of humility. Loi hoyat sorich lo oira hachno b'shoyte. He didn't need to arouse hachno, submission, because he already exemplifies it. He's only in the parasha when we learn he has become the onov mikol odom that we also learn that the chatzotzeros are specifically for him. It's a very interesting tension. He doesn't need the shofar in the way that a normal human being does. And he alone may use the chatzotzeros, because there's always, and this is a constant theme in the writings of the Shemesh Shmuel, that there are some very powerful middos floating around. They are essentially parav, and they have to be directed. And sometimes they're so powerful that an ordinary human being can't redirect them successfully, except in a very, very limited context. On the other hand, if they're used successfully, they can be immensely powerful tools for personal growth and for the growth of Klal Yisrael. So there's a fear of his nasus, and this is a very much a theme, certainly in this type of writings, of the Seder of Bamidbar. That's going to be Korach and the Meraglim, leadership, perhaps, which in principle was positive, that gets out of control. That's a theme. Whereas in contrast, Moshe Rabbeinu, he can blow on the Chatzotzeros. So that's in normal life. Aval bil milchomo. And when it comes to war, everyone can blow on Chatzotzeros when it comes to the milchomo. Because the milchoma, hachno, is completely the wrong approach. Hachno means you lose. It means vis-a-vis the enemy. It means I'm in control, I'm going to win. I'm confident with that Kodesh Baruch Hu's help, I'm going to win. Aval b'milchoma hayitzrichim chatzotzeros. You need chatzotzeros when it comes to war. Ki neged oyevim, because when it comes against one's enemies, v'chein neged hachitzoinim, we forgot from Emily's Chassidish Rebbe, but he's reminded us, against the negative spiritual forces, tzrichim hischazkus, one needs to strengthen oneself, v'ein roshoyim lios bachno, and achno, subjugation, that means you lose. That's the wrong approach. Yichon nuvatel chas v'sholom etzlom. We can lose the game like that. And that is how it works. So he's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu, if you like, only he is capable of having the appropriate focus of Chatzotzeros, when for the rest of the Klal, it's only in wartime and they have to assert themselves. That assertion may be dangerous in normal circumstances, appropriate before war, but for Moshe Rabbeinu, who is always humble, it works very well. And that sort of ties the ideas together quite nicely. To finish, Metzodek HaKoyin in Parshas Matos. Inyan HaChatzotzeros Shu L'chnufyo U'L'osef. The Chatzotzeros are to gather people. Really, the main function of the Chatzotzeros, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the war, but most of the time, certainly in the desert, it's to gather people together. It's time to travel, it's time to move, it's time to stop. It has a quite kind of mundane function. And therefore he puts it in lichnufyu losof. It's to gather people. And of course that works very well with Rav Hirsch's explanation. I said there's a good dissertation waiting to be written about the overlap between the sort of Polish and German thought of the late 19th century, but I'll leave that for one of you to do. I'm a chavmbazer. What does this mean? It's very similar to what Rav Hirsch is saying. It's a central point. It's a focal point. Something around which other things gather. I'm a chavmbazer. Shiasu kol Yisrael yachad ke'ish echod chaverim belev echod. Ultimately, it's a tool of gathering. Gathering means we're all together. We're all in the game together. Sometimes we go off in our disparate directions. But from time to time, it's not just theoretical, we have to walk together as we end up in different places. But we have to express conceptually our unity. And coming together, therefore, the Chatzotzeros are the tool by which this unity is re-emphasized and recreated after possible periods of, if you like, of fragmentation. V'zeh al yedei ha-Chatzotzeros. This is achieved through the Chatzotzeros. We understand what it is. It's about kavona, it's about focus, it's about unity, it's about what Moshe Rabbeinu represents, about Malchus. All these ideas now fit together. Ubatanis Ha'ikas, it's Ubatanis, and there's a whole discussion actually, there's some contemporary literature about this, about whether one should produce Chatzotzeros to be blown in a war. There's a Milchemes Mitzvah in modern day Eretz Yisrael. Shalom, the war, maybe they should blow Chatzotras, maybe on Tanesim we should blow Chatzotras, and so on. Why on Tanesim? Because what's the primary function of a Tanis? Rambam explains, of course, everyone reads this Rambam. It's the fast is a means, it's not an end. Fasting is intended to bring people together, tshuva, and so on, but it's also to bring people together, because originally Tanesim, most of the people would come together, and they would stand at the street, and they would all gather together, special tefillahs and so on, it's less familiar to us, but that was the original function of a Tanis. It's to bring people together in a single group. And that's the function of the Yom Tovim. And of course, once that's a slightly different perspective. Or Ikashu Kol Yisrael Ba'aguda Achas. The idea that everyone should come together. So, at both a physical and a conceptual level, the Melech, whose tool, if you like, is the Chatzotzeros, or from a different perspective, Moshe Rabbeinu, who through his humility becomes the leader, but the leader with a focus. We can see that all the ideas tie together, but it does seem to me that all these sources are based probably in the reading of the Chinuch, where he's troubled by the fact that it seems to be used for korbanos and also for war. In the end, Chatzotzeros, as Rav Hirsch explains, even in the word itself, means a process of gathering together, where it's understood that whether we gather for korbanos, whether we gather to travel, whether we gather as a people, whether we gather to express, to rally around a leader, in whatever context, it's all about understanding there has to be a central focus, and in the end, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence has to pervade all of our activities. Have a good day.